Hello and welcome to Podcraft, the podcasthost.com's very own podcast about making podcasts. It's Matthew with you here, and if you've been listening to the series up until now, you'll know that we've just recently finished Season 7, where we were answering some of your frequently asked podcasting questions. Over the next few weeks now, we're going to be bringing you some interviews from various corners of the podcasting world. I believe Collins referred to such mid-season episodes as in-betweenies in the past. If you think you can come up with a better name, then send them a tweet at the podcast host and let them know about it. Now, on this week's show, we're going to listen to a conversation between Colin and a very successful podcaster right here in Scotland, a gentleman called John Butt. John runs a show through his business called Marketing for Owners, which is all about helping business owners with their marketing. And Colin wanted to catch up with him because he's been very successful in monetizing his podcast. He's creating a lot of leads for his business through that show. And in this chat, John covers a few different topics like the various ways to monetize through things like membership sites, through leads to selling products and services, and then on to a bit about the growth of audiences as well. So the different ways that John has tried over the years to grow his audience. So hope that whets your appetite. Let's not hang around any longer and go and hear Colin's chat with John Butt of marketingforowners.com.
Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you could join me. How's the day where you are just now?
It's actually cold. I record a podcast myself, and I like to do them outside, but it looked nice out the window, but not till I went outside.
Indeed, always like that. So yeah, your podcast, can you tell us a bit about it? What's the name and what do you generally talk about?
It's Marketing for Owners. Which is also name of the website, marketingforowners.com. And sure. I do a daily podcast from Monday to Friday, and they're generally around 10 minutes per episode. And it's just me, where I give generally marketing tips from my experience of life and business. And The Wednesday edition, I interview a renowned expert, which is therefore more like 30-40 minutes, and sure. We delve into their marketing systems and how they've become successful and what they use to build their business.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're a more than once a week show then?
Yeah, I decided, well, in actual fact, I'm very lazy. So first of all, that's the reason why they're short and it's just me, because I can just ad lib. And so I don't script my podcasts, and just sure. saved me some effort. And I thought the other thing is that I might forget to do a show. And if I did them all the time, did them in batches, then they're always there. I wasn't going to do weekends. I thought I'd have some time off, but it just made it easier to do Monday to Friday and just be there all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you find that that's helped you a lot? A difference?
I'm not sure. I don't really have anything to go by. For me, the podcast is just another form of traffic generation and another way to get the message out to my audience. Some people, the podcast is the entire business, and so it's heavily promoted. You know, they might just do one episode a week, but it's everything is around promoting that one episode. Whereas for us, we have a blog and and emails and everything else that goes with it. So I just find being a 10-minute tip thing, it's an easy listen on the way to work while you're making a breakfast or cooking dinner or whatever, and being there all the time, there's always something to listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. And mix it in with an interview every now and again as well. It's quite a nice idea because, often short shows, I think, get requests for more information. So you're giving them that more in-depth fix, I guess, once a week, is it?
Yes. Yeah. The Wednesday edition is that. And I also feel that it's it would be a bit sort of big-headed to think you know it all and can tell everyone everything about everything. So the best way, I thought, is to get some pretty good experts and to give them questions that no one else asked them. To specifically ask them about their marketing systems and how it can apply to what I call a real business, you know, to the rest of us. Seems to be very popular.
Excellent. So I think to me it seems like your area of expertise, and one of the reasons I was interested in talking to you, is how you've tied in your podcast to the rest of the business. Like you say, your podcast isn't the business. You have something else going on and it's a lead generator for that. So how do you track exactly the leads coming in from your podcast? Do you have a robust way of doing that, do you think?
Funny you ask that, because that's something I've asked people on mine. The simple answer is it is not easy. In fact, I even speak to other people who have podcasts on downloads. Different podcast hosting companies count downloads in different ways. You could have a podcast with, I don't know, 30,000 downloads a month. You put it on another host and you've suddenly got 75,000 downloads a month for the same thing. But I don't have a specific lead generating thing that I use every single time on the podcast, but we do have a couple. For instance, a free book. I like to encourage people or reward them for putting the effort into reviewing the podcast and giving their opinion, in which case they can qualify for, if they let me know they've done it, a free book. And that's a specific page that is only given out over the podcast. I do have certain lead generating things, and we are planning on creating one that is specific to the podcast. But so far, I would suggest I'm a fan from the emails, when people email things in from around the world and they refer to the podcast.
Yeah. So that's one of your measures of success for the show, really.
In this day and age, there are a lot of platforms, and I think it helps to just be everywhere. After a while, you can probably find that something is more worth the effort. But I think it's worth testing everything and being everywhere. And I think podcasting's got a long way to go.
Indeed. Always. We've got many more people to bring into the fold, really, as listeners.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, once it gets into cars, it's a standard, because it's like Freeview, isn't it? It's sort of radio on demand.
Indeed, indeed. So monetization then, is that the only way you monetize it then, by selling your products and services through the show?
To give the full background, my main income is from my e-commerce business. So in the UK, sell fire and safety equipment. Mm-hmm. And marketing for owners came from people asking how we do that. For the UK, we're the largest online supplier of fire safety equipment at fireprotectiononline.co.uk for anyone who's on fire, wants to see how quick our delivery is. And people ask me, so I set up Marketing for Owners to answer the questions, to give me a place to put it. And then the monetization of that is through teaching courses and through membership. But in actual fact, we did a what I'd call a kind of social media examiner, where we spent the first period of time, the first year, building an audience before actually diving in and selling them. The membership site is due to go live in February, but at the moment, you'd struggle to give me any money.
Okay. That's interesting. So you're going down the membership site route. What drew you along that way? Is that it's obviously quite a growing area right now. What prompted you to look at that?
Yeah, I've read over the years. I've been internet marketing since I sold my original business in probably 2003. And membership sites has always been, it always sounds great because of the thought that someone joins up and then they pay you every month forever. Of course, they don't mention that people leave and they get bored.
Yes.
But But the alternative, I had two alternatives. One was to create courses and sell courses. And the second one was to create a membership that discusses all aspects of marketing online and allow people to dip in and out of any course, to put every course within it and allow them to dip in and out. And if I was selling courses, we're just finishing off the second of seven at the moment, and each one would sell on its own for $300 to $500. However, in a membership, it sounds odd, we would give all that away for about $40 a month. And and it just, you see, someone might want parts of a course, but not all of it, and may not want to throw down $300, but might just want a bit of it. So within the membership site, the larger courses are going to be broken down into their constituent parts, so people can dip in and out.
Yeah. So do you have those courses created at the moment? Is that what you mean?
We're working through them. So I see to sell online, I have a system. Marketing is a system. And in actual fact, I didn't even realize I had it at first until people asked me, how do I sell it? And then the more I told people, the more I realized that I actually do it in a particular way every single time. But so my system is like a seven-step system. I call the perpetual sales system, because it's a way to almost put your selling on autopilot. And the first step is to have a presence, and to have a website as your hub, to have it set up in the right way. So that was the first course. The second one is to have a profile, and that means across all social media platforms. So the second course is the social media side, and then each other section will be developed over that. But I didn't want to have them all ready at the first, because that would be a bit overwhelming to dive in and go, wow, where do I start? So they're going to just be dripped in over the next 12 months.
Yeah, I mean, that gets by one of the issues that a lot of people have with membership sites, which is that, you know, people pay the £50 for the first month, and then you feel like you have to keep adding things anyway. So I suppose if you had everything live at the very start, then you feel that pressure to build it out.
Yeah, I've been in some myself before where there's also, when there's too much, you just don't do anything. Not many of these sites, what they call onboard you properly. They don't, you know, once they've got your money, that's it.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out. You know, we've got support and everything, but they don't really help you beyond that. And they, quite often it seems that their main thing is to add more and more to the site to keep you interested. Whereas in actual fact, if they just guide us through what's there, that might be enough. And I've studied quite a few of the way things are done. And one of the things we're going to do is we're going to be nice to our members and help them.
Revolutionary.
I guess we're going to talk to them, actually really talk. So give them, people a chance for 15-minute Skype chats and anything. And we will guide them through. We will create a roadmap. So that would say, if you're here with marketing, if say for instance you've already got all your website, it's all set up, it is generating leads, then we can jump you over to this part of say email nurturing or something like that. But we're going to make an effort that in my feeling of my own experience is that if I didn't use information, then my feeling afterwards that it wasn't very good. When in actual fact, I hadn't actually used it. So I want people, the system is proven, it works. And the only way people will know how good it is to actually go through the material and give it a go. So we will do everything to help people do that.
Excellent. That really speaks to me actually with I've got a background in education, so it really annoys me sometimes when you see courses that come out and they've really no guidance. There's, like you say, memberships that you sign up for, and it's just a big stramash of courses and materials and everything. So I love that idea of actually just giving a really helping hand to guide people through it from start to finish. And actually it takes away, like you say, a lot of the pressure to keep building more and more. Do you think you'll have, well, you say you're going to have live help, so the opportunity to have Skype calls, that type of thing. Do you think you'll have any other ongoing weekly or monthly events? Something that people often do in a membership.
Yeah, so first, there's obviously the content on the blog. So there's, funny enough, there'll be three levels on the marketingforowners.com site. At the moment, there's a ton of information there. So as a public visitor, you know, you can read the blog information and you can get access to the podcast. Now, hopefully, though, the aim of those are not just to waste your time and to put more content into Google's database. The idea of these to actually teach you something. Hopefully, when you've listened to a podcast or hopefully when you've read a blog post, there's something you can do that helped you. And it wasn't just more information for the sake of it. Now, then there's a free membership level where you can register, and there'll be some free reports, things you might have to opt in to, you know, what people call content upgrades, transcripts of podcasts and things like that, and extra checklist cheat sheets. And as a free member, you get those for free. And then the paid side, which will get the courses, but there'll also be Q&A, there would be guidance, there will be monthly Q&A sessions, there will be specialist training from experts. Some of these people that I get to get to know via interviewing them on podcast are supplying information to give to members only, which one of the efforts will be to not give too much, because if you can't keep up, again, it's overwhelming. And of course, you imagine this 2 years down the line, the thing will be huge. So there will be something every week, but not too much that you can't do it.
Yeah, I think that's really key, isn't it? It's, sometimes when I've dropped out of memberships, it is because you feel like you're not keeping up and therefore you're wasting your money. So you want to drop out because, yeah, you're not getting the full value for what you're paying for. So I really like that idea.
You've probably seen some as well where they have maybe a forum or a Facebook group where when it was all new, everyone dived in, they asked all the questions. But now, yeah. A year later, people join and they ask the questions and no one answers because they come back with, oh, search the things, and the stuff's all buried. It's buried. No one can be bothered to ask, you know, tell them again. So I'm all very, very conscious of my own experiences with these, and I'd like it to be a resource where a business owner or a small business person or someone wants to get their thing going can think, that'll do. Everything I need to know about online marketing, I can find in there when I need it.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, that's been really useful. I think it relates on really well from the previous season of Podcraft that we've just finished off, which was around monetization. And I know that a lot of people that I talk to in podcasting, it's certainly one of the first things that they think of when they think about trying to monetize. It's usually either courses, which you've discussed as well, or a membership site. So it's great to get your insights into what you're planning to do and what you think is going to work to go alongside your podcast and the rest of your business as well. The other aspect that would be great to just get your thoughts on around your podcast is what has worked for you in terms of growing your audience. So you've obviously been going a little while now. What have you tried in the past in terms of audience growth?
Well, one, Facebook ads, didn't really manage much with that. That I found was difficult. We tried that, but I think the problem with that is you need to, when someone's on Facebook, using Facebook, whether it's on a desktop or on a mobile, they're on Facebook. So if you want to get them to listen to a podcast, you've got to take them off to iTunes or Stitcher or whatever it is. And I think that's the disconnect, is they don't want to go off somewhere else. With other things, just a download or something like that from an ad, they can get it. So that didn't help. But what we found by social media is very successful. We use Edgar, if you know Meet Edgar, which libraries things. Because, of course, when we analyze our downloads, certain episodes are more popular and find that certain subjects are more popular with people. And so those we can bring out regularly with Edgar and get people to listen, change the wording, the links a bit. What I've also found is by, instead of just having show notes, little, you know, a couple of links and things, we have every single episode fully transcribed. And it's funny, actually. Remember I said it's ad lib. Once you actually see your spoken word written down, makes me look like a complete idiot. So it's then edited by somebody to make me look like I can speak properly. And that becomes that obviously helps for Google and generates content. So that has helped. But since we've been able to interview other people, leveraging other people's audience is probably the biggest, is probably the most successful so far.
The transcriptions one's interesting because I get a lot of questions about that, and I've tried a few different methods myself. And so you're saying that you put on the full transcription, but it is edited to be more like the written word as opposed to the original transcription.
Yeah. So remember that there's two types. So on the sort of 10-minute daily one, that's full transcription, and that is the whole post, but it is edited to make it look readable because there's little repeats and where you go, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So actually it's what I say, but is the full thing. Another thing is I record those as on an iPhone as a video. So that's posted on YouTube. It's also posted separately on Facebook. The YouTube video is embedded on that, and then there's the MP3 and the download and everything else. That full post is there. But when we do the interviews, if they're 30, 40 minutes, the transcriptions are quite long. And so I have my one of the staff writers pick out the salient points and create a post from it that is, say, I don't know, Marcus Sheridan's six best tips for content marketing for 2016, and the full transcription is an opt-in or a members only upgrade.
Excellent. So yeah, you have some kind of content upgrades for your podcast as well, particularly.
Yes, on the daily one as well. We have at the end, there's on a Monday, there's a book for the week. Well, I'll recommend a book. There's Tuesday, there's a toolbox tip, which is generally a free tool. On Thursday, it's a podcast, to a drive time podcast to listen to. And on Friday, a weekend challenge to, because quite simply, I know they're going to do some work over the weekend, even though they're not supposed to be. So I try and give people something else to think about, and like a 6-point, something to think about for the business. On the books and the tools and everything else, I only recommend things I've actually read or are using myself. And they're generally free things, so they're little quick tips. But that enables us to have other opt-ins. So for instance, you could opt in to get my favorite top 5 books. You know, do you want to, here we've got a list of 60 that I've recommended. Do you want to see the top 5? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay, great. And you get, can you track your opt-ins for those lead magnets separately? Do you know how well they do?
Though only from, on the particular ones where they are specific to the podcast, so for instance, a transcription that's specific to that one, we can. I use Lead Pages, and that will be an individual one. But if we put, say, the books, the top 5 books on various ones, no, it won't be specific.
Yeah, okay. So you mentioned earlier on about platforms and Be Everywhere, borrowing from our other favorite internet marketer. But what platforms, are there any platforms that are your most effective, do you think? I'm assuming you're particularly talking about social media platforms there. Are correct? Yeah, okay. Which ones do you think you get the most leads from?
For us, funny enough, Facebook works well. Okay. And Twitter. Now, So I've got two different businesses. You see, in our fire protection business, we also have good numbers, good following, but a lot of our audience is not, you know, they don't want to chat to us, and they don't want to, people are not going to put on social media, oh, look, here we had a huge fire last week, here's the pictures. It's not the kind of thing you talk about. In marketing, though, people like to share tips from others, and it makes people makes them look clever. So I feel that Twitter and Facebook, because they're so easy to share, are successful. And we don't really use Instagram, and we use Pinterest to a certain extent, but the reason we don't is because it's not really known to, or rather, it is known not to work so easily in my type of business. Now, there's going to be a huge queue of people to say, yes, it does. But for the effort put in and for what people do, it's just not the same. For instance, if you attend lots of conferences, then you're going to have lots of photos. I don't. If you interact with more people, get out and about, again, you have opportunity for lots of photos. So you might do a lot on Instagram, and it just wouldn't work for me. Or if you had a bigger staff and you can get more information, you know, more stuff from people. But for some of us, I'm one of these people that forgets that my iPhone takes photos and also does videos. Apparently, when I'm out, I can see, something that would everyone want to know, and someone would say, "Did you get a video of that?" And say, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, no." So for me, Facebook and Twitter are the ones that are more successful. I think YouTube would be successful for anybody if they're doing it right. If they're putting enough effort in, I think YouTube will work for every single business.
Yeah. Have you ever considered repurposing your podcast content for YouTube?
Well, those do. Every single one is on YouTube, and the embed comes back on there. It's one of the downsides is there's probably too much, because they go up daily, so there's not enough time to make more of them. But it does actually, I mean, people do watch them, a few. The podcast, the audio podcast, is more popular though.
Do you put visuals alongside it, or is it just actually a talking head type video?
It's just me. We will put a pic. So if I've featured a toolbox tip or something, you know, put the logo for it, or the cover of a book or something like that. But it will be just me on camera there.
And how do you try to draw people back to the podcast from there? Is it just a link in the description? Anything special?
Yeah, every now and again. I don't use the same thing. So I will mention, for example, I'll say, if you're driving along, if you missed the notes here, you can go to marketingforowners.com/podcast/300, you know, get the full notes. Or to see a landing page in, I mean, it sounds corny, but I will sort of explain to people that it's a cheap trick, but to see a landing page in action, go to one of our landing pages. And because I actually tell people, you know, in theory, we should be pretty good at marketing. So go opt in and see what we do and copy it.
Yeah.
For your own business. Change the wording a little, please.
Indeed. Don't rip us off entirely. Excellent. Okay. That's been really useful, John. Thanks very much for sharing. I think that's been some good growth strategy tips alongside the monetization stuff earlier. So I think that's going to be really valuable for our listeners. Is there anything, just before we tie up, do you want to direct people towards where they can find you online? Anything you particularly want them to check out at the moment?
Yeah. What I would say is that marketing, a lot of people think marketing's quite difficult, and it doesn't have to be difficult. Your website, if you can get people to opt in, then you can talk to them, and you can talk to them for a long time. So if you want to know how we do it, and again, a cheap trick, not just to get people on the list, but genuinely, if you want to see how we do it, go to marketingforowners.com/71. There's a report there that is that a lot of people write into and say, thanks, that's fantastic. I've had some like 4,000 downloads of that report, but you will be on an email sequence that runs for, I think, about 6 months. Okay. And it, you can see the types of things that we do, occasionally questions, little tricks. There's a couple of questions at the beginning to ask people if they can confirm they got the report. And if people answer, it tells Google those emails are of more interest and not to throw them in spam. And there's little tricks and tips. So if you just emulate what we do, it's going to work for any business there to build up a list.
Perfect. But yeah, I'd encourage everyone to go along, sign up for that list. I shall certainly do so after this and check out your sequence. Something I'm definitely working on with the podcast host at the moment to try and give our listeners, our readers, as much value as possible when they sign up for the email list. Because I think it's quite easy to lose people. Like you're kind of, they're joining in halfway through, I suppose. Like you say, there's already tons of content there that they've missed. So be able to take them back to the start and guide them through. So yeah,
all you've got to remember is that if you, when you write your email, imagine you're writing to one single person, and if you write it and then put it in an autoresponder, it's written once and every single person will get it forevermore. You only have to do it once each one.
Indeed. And I think so many podcasters don't really think of mailing lists as a thing for them as well, because they talk via audio. But of course, it's a great way to get people back to our website, to direct products, services, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Great. Well, thanks very much, John. That's excellent. And yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
It's a pleasure. Great to be here.
Thanks very much, guys. And we'll have a link to John's website and podcast in the episode show notes over at podcraft.net. And one more wee thing before you head off. You might know that we put out a lot of written content at thepodcasthost.com, and one series of blog posts that I've been working on recently covers a lot of stuff that's relevant to the conversation in this week's episode. It's a series on growing your podcast audience, and so far I've covered things like creating shareable content, getting yourself out there, and building a community around your show. I've even got an article there on how to get more iTunes reviews, so hopefully you'll find loads of useful hints and tips throughout that series. You can find it at thepodcasthost.com/growth. Alright, that's enough for this episode. Next week we'll have another interview, this time with Bo York of the Satchel Podcast Player, who'll be talking about podcasting apps and discoverability. In the meantime, thanks very much for listening to Podcraft, and we'll see you next time.